On this second Sunday in Epiphany, we continue the narrative of the revelation of who Jesus of Nazareth is. Whereas Matthew introduced the global significance of Jesus' birth in his account of the Magi seeking, finding, and worshipping the infant Jesus, John's account of Nathanael meeting Jesus is set in Galilee, Jesus' home country, and the characters we meet are local guys with no exceptional credentials or aura. Jesus himself has grown into a young man and is about to embark on his ministry. He is choosing individuals who were to be his close and trusted followers from adjoining towns. The focus here is on the recognition of Jesus as the light of the world within his own people, though some were to have difficulty in coming to that recognition. In this passage, I was again struck by the detail given of this meeting between Jesus and Nathanael. The calling of Philip is briefly told. Philip then seeks out Nathanael, telling him excitedly that he and the brothers Andrew and Peter had made the discovery of their lives. The man, Jesus from Nazareth, was the fulfillment of the promise made by all the prophets in their nation's history. An amazing claim, considering that Jesus was just entering the stage and they themselves had not been with him for any length of time. Nathanael's reaction, hardly surprisingly, is incredulous, bordering on being insulting. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Here is a man voicing, one could say, harmless hang-ups, not to say a common prejudice. Of what significance was Nazareth, the neighboring rival small town up the road? Jerusalem, yes. Bethlehem, yes. But not Nazareth. The response Nathanael got from his friend, Philip, simply was, "Come and see. Come and see for yourself." We find that the words relating to seeing in this short passage alone occur 7 times, and they are to be understood at more than the literal level. Despite his disbelief, Nathanael followed the prompting of Philip. But it took Jesus, who sees Nathanael coming, to say the perceptive words, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile." Jesus sees through the self-assured, perhaps light-hearted, flippant bluster of Nathanael. To Nathanael's astonishment, Jesus tells him that he had already seen him before Nathanael even was aware of it. Jesus sees the man and tells him who and what he is. A man basically without treachery or deceit in his heart. At this point, John puts words in Nathanael's mouth, which Nathanael himself, if he did say them like that, would have hardly understood. "You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Significant is that Nathanael's eyes were opened. While we are here speaking figuratively, this encounter actually and radically changed Nathanael's heart and mind. He saw Jesus with new eyes and responded with the acknowledgement of Jesus' sovereignty. Jesus is gently yet dramatically opening Nathanael's perception of a far deeper truth than which first met the eye, or what his prejudice dictated. This truth demanded nothing less than his allegiance for a turnaround and a new orientation in his life. Jesus points out to him that entering this journey with him will mean that he will see a new dimension which will take on significance in his life. The awareness of God's dimension of reality being present here on earth. He makes reference to the seminal story in Genesis, familiar to every Jew, of Jacob's dream when he was fleeing the anger of his brother Esau. He dreamt that there was a ladder between earth and heaven on which angels were ascending and descending. He called the place Bethel, God's house, and it became a major sanctuary for the Jewish people to remind them that God was present among his people. The central message of John's Gospel is, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus in our passage recalls the vision in Jacob's dream because it was to become one that Nathanael would come to see and share in. Not as an unearthly vision of an other world, nor a forward glance into the future, but as a glimpse of a present time heavenly reality, of God's kingdom coming in present time and in the present world. God's reality, so to speak, in the world in which we live and move and have our being. The light-hearted banter between Nathanael and Jesus gives way to a profound prophetic message for Nathanael in the first instance, but for all who encounter Jesus. Your life from here on will include your awareness of God's presence, God's calling, God's leading, and God's purpose for you and the world. Think, act, and live in this reality. Between heaven and earth, the gulf has been bridged once and for all. This reality will change how you live and how you act. We can expect to encounter and find God in unexpected places, at unexpected times, and in quite unimagined guises. To recognize Jesus for who he is, even for us today, is about being prepared to come and see with an open mind and heart. We need to be prepared to see through our prejudices, through our incredulity. What good can come from a young Jewish man who lived over 2,000 years ago and hailed from Nazareth in Galilee? What can this individual from a time and context that we in our 21st century have little in common with tell us how to live our life today? Thank God we have our own stories to tell of our encounters with Jesus. Also, there are not few people who will bear sane witness to how their encounters with Jesus have been life-changing, how he has become the lodestar for their lives. Furthermore, we need only turn to our scriptures and to the lives of saints and believers through every age to discover the testimony to God's presence in our world. Nathaniel is a person like you and I, conditioned by his own personal biography in his time and place. Jesus saw him before he ever was aware of it and opened his eyes. Jesus sees you and me and calls us to experience and to share the vision of his presence among us in the midst of the nitty-gritty reality of our lives. Our world sorely needs such witnesses. Amen.